And now, the life of Mary Southern. More than a week has passed since the death of Mary's husband, Max Sanders. But Mary, unnaturally calm, continues to insist with quiet confidence that Max is still with her, that he is still alive. Dr. John Benson, who loves Mary devotedly, feels that her frame of mind is dangerous for her and has tried without success to help her face reality. Betty Stradford is equally distressed and equally helpless. And even Max's sister, Phyllis, when she talked with Mary yesterday, could not shake Mary's firm conviction that Max was in the very room speaking to her. Now, it is the next afternoon. Bill Brown, foreman of the mill, and his wife are visiting Mary to extend the condolences of the mill workers. They have been talking in Mary's cheerful living room.
You're both very kind and thoughtful, and I'm so grateful to you. And to the men in the mill, Mr. Brown.
Max Sanders will be missed in town. You know, a lot of us feel mighty bad because we didn't get a chance to tell him how sorry we was. We believed all that evidence at the trial.
Well, I think Max understood, Mr. Brown.
Well, I'm ashamed of myself, Mrs. Sanders. I should have known better than to think a fine man like Max could be mixed up with gamblers. When it all come out in the papers about what a hero he was in the prison fire, and when the governor pardoned him, we knew he couldn't have been guilty.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. But after all, the evidence at the trial was so overwhelmingly against him that, well, only those of us who loved him well believed him. If only Bill could have told him how sorry he was before Mrs. Sanders was taken from the world.
Yeah, that's what makes me feel bad. And that's what makes the other men feel bad, too. We'd like to have been able to tell him we were sorry, to have given him a vote of confidence, as it was.
Thank you. What I'm mostly sorry about is you. You poor dear. Losing your husband when you're so young. Oh, it's a crying shame. And Mr. Sanders was such a happy-go-lucky fella, always smiling.
Please, Mrs. Brown.
Oh, I know how you feel. Why don't you have a good cry? It'd do your world a good, wouldn't it, Bill?
Yeah, I expect it would.
But I never
think it had to happen just before Christmas. Oh, it's a real tragedy, that's what it is. Your poor husband dying just before Christmas. Oh, it'll be so hard for you, left all alone.
Mrs. Brown, you mustn't feel sorry for me.
What? Why not?
Well, you see, Max didn't go away at all.
Huh? What's that you're saying? He didn't go away.
No.
But he died, didn't he? Why, I went to his funeral.
So did I. The whole town turned out.
Oh, you don't understand. Max hasn't left me. He's here with me all the time.
Oh, you mean you won't forget him? He's here in your memory.
No, Mr. Brown, I don't mean that. Max is here in this room. He speaks to me. You see, he promised not to leave me, and he didn't.
Well, you don't mean you're not... Well, you don't say.
I know it's hard for others to understand, but it's really true, poor dear.
Well, I think we'd better run along, don't you, Abby? We'll get Mrs. Sanders all tired out talking so long.
Yes, we'd better go. It's been so good to see both of you, and please tell all of the men at the mill how much I appreciate their thinking of me and of Matt.
Oh, I sure will, Mrs. Sanders, and I'm glad you're keeping in good health. Ready, Abby?
Yes, Bill. I'll walk to the door with you. And thanks for coming.
Well, goodbye, Mrs. Sanders.
Goodbye, Neil.
Well, of all things. She's crazy, Abby.
Not so loud, Bill. She'll hear you.
Oh, she can't hear me with the door shut. I never heard such talk. Mrs. Sanders has gone stark, raving mad. Talking like that about her husband. He's there with her, she said.
Oh, now, Bill, I wouldn't say she was crazy. I remember when my father died... My mother was like that. Wouldn't believe it for months.
Well, all the same, I bet your mother never heard his voice speaking to her. Now, did she?
No, but I guess that's kind of natural, too, Bill.
Natural nothing. He promised not to leave her. He speaks to her. Mrs. Sanders is just plain crazy. That's what she is. Crazy.
You wait till folks hear about this.
I think it's a mistake to have come here, Henrietta.
Mistake? Joe proves sometimes you're as spineless as a jellyfish. See, that Sanders woman is really crazy, as Bill Brown says. I want to know it. And the best way to find out is to see John Benson. I hope he's in.
the overseer of the clinic in the afternoon.
Now, be careful what you say, Joe.
I'm in.
Oh, good afternoon, Dr. Benson.
Oh, good afternoon, Dr. Benson. We just stopped in to have a little talk, if you're not too busy.
Good afternoon, Miss Bruce. I am very busy, but sit down, won't
you? Oh, thank you.
Dr. Benson, I've called to apologize for the little misunderstanding we had a week or two ago.
Misunderstanding?
Yes. You see, I was sincere about my disapproval of Max Sanders, and I thought he would no doubt influence you. As head of the clinic, you have a great deal of responsibility, you know.
I never let my personal affairs affect my profession, Bruce.
Oh, I'm sure Mr. Bruce didn't mean it that way, Dr. Benson.
As I was about to say, Dr. Benson, I did disapprove of your friendship for Max Sanders and his wife, but since his heroism and subsequent pardon by the governor, I realized I was wrong for having tried to remove you from your position.
I accept your apology, of course, Mr. Bruce, but you don't mind my saying it surprises me, do you?
No. I suppose I'm not a man to apologize often, but when I'm wrong, I admit it. So, let's let bygones...
All right, Mr. Bruce. Now, would you mind? I have a great deal of work to do this afternoon.
Yeah, of course. We'll go.
Yes, Gerald. We mustn't keep Dr. Benson from his work.
Goodbye, Dr. Benson. Oh, by the way, it's too bad about poor Mrs. Sanders, isn't it?
What do you mean?
I understand she's not quite herself these days.
Poor woman. It's no wonder she's a little out of her head.
Yes, the shock of her husband's death was too much for her, I suppose. Well, Henrietta, let's go. Dr. Benson has work to do.
Just a minute, Bruce. Let me get this straight. Where did you get the idea that Mary Sanders was mentally unbalanced?
Oh, we didn't really say that, Dr. Benson. All we know is what Bill Brown said.
What does Bill Brown know about Mrs. Sanders?
Oh, he and Mrs. Brown went to see this afternoon.
I'm sure Mr. Brown didn't mean to say anything against Mrs. Sanders, Benson, but we understand she insists her husband is still with her. Here's his voice. And
Mrs. Sanders is as sane as any of us.
That may be, but of course the sudden death of Max Sanders may have temporarily unhinged her mind, and perhaps a short rest cure in some quiet sanatorium would be advised.
And if she is going crazy, she shouldn't be allowed to keep control of all the Sanders' interests.
Henrietta, will you keep still?
Oh, I didn't mean anything.
I thought I'd find out why you really came to see me, Bruce, if I waited long enough. So you're still after Mrs. Sanders' stock?
Not at all, not at all, but you've got to admit that somebody would have to take them over if Mrs. Sanders is declared incompetent.
And naturally, Gerald's the only man to do it, Dr. Benson.
There won't be any necessity for that. As Mary Sanders' doctor, I'd be the first to know if there's anything wrong with her mind. And I assure you there isn't. Now, if you've said all you came to say, please go, Bruce.
Of course, you understand. I'm only thinking of the welfare of Sanders.
Get out of here, Bruce, before I do something we'll both regret. Hasn't Mary Sanders had enough trouble? Can't you leave her alone?
I haven't a thing against Mrs. Sanders personally.
Of course not.
Get out. Very well, we go. Come, Henrietta.
Yes, indeed.
But you'll be sorry, Benson. Sorry you wouldn't discuss this matter reasonably.
I'd like to wring their necks. They mean business, though. Something's got to be done to stop them. Maybe Daddy Stafford would have an idea. Give me 1212J, please. Hello, Daddy. This is John. I've got to see you, Daddy. Yes, this afternoon. Yes, it's very serious. It's about Mary.
Oh, I can't tell you on the phone.
No, I can't very well leave the clinic this afternoon. I thought maybe you could come over. Fine. Yes, I'll be here in my office, waiting for you.
Gerald Proust and his wife do seem to be in business, as John Benson realizes. Will they be able to hurt Mary in her present defenseless state? Or will John and Daddy Stafford find a way to prevent them?